Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On today's Your Call, we are talking about books. This weekend, the second annual Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley will host 300 local, national, and international authors. There will be films, special events, and author interviews. On Sunday at 10 a.m., I will be interviewing Oscar Martinez about his book, A History of Violence, Living and Dying in Central America. And you can find information about the festival and all of the events at BayAreaBookFest.org. The festival is also an opportunity for book lovers to connect with independent bookstores from around the Bay Area. Lucky for us, many are still thriving. So today we would love to hear about what you're reading, what you're looking forward to reading now that summer is almost here. And joining us to talk about some of their favorites and the festival are two guests. Kevin Hunsanger is co-owner of Green Apple Books on Clement Street in San Francisco, which has been in business since 1967. Green Apple also has a store in the Inner Sunset. And Kevin joins us in studio. Hi, Kevin. Welcome back.
Hi, Rose. Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
We're also joined by Cheryl Kotler. She is a book buyer at Copperfields Books. Copperfields has stores in San Rafael and Petaluma. Over the past 4 years, Cheryl has served as a jurist for a number of book awards. This year, she's judging the Carnegie Medal for Excellence in Fiction and Nonfiction. And Cheryl joins me in studio. Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I love these shows because the table is always full of so many books. So let's just talk generally. What's really exciting you in the world of books right now, Kevin?
Well, we're doing great things with coloring books, the adult coloring books right now.
Right.
Hand over fist. Everybody's clamoring for those. So that and all the sidelines that are accompanying that, it's been almost like a cottage market for booksellers these days. So that's fun.
I got one for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Trees, and then I also saw one that was Underwater Life, which I still want to get. Beautiful.
Yep. Yep.
Beautiful. Why do you think this is taking off? I mean, there are studies now that show if adults color, it's a stress reliever.
Mm-hmm.
But why is this taking off?
Because I think a lot of adults need stress relievers these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Myself. You know, that being said, I have a different stress reliever I'd like to talk about, though, as a book. One from my stack is called Drinking the Devil's Acre. This is by Duggan MacDonald, and it's a love letter from San Francisco and her cocktails. So this is really more than just a recipe guide to cocktails or a history of mixology. Duggan has put together San Francisco history through its saloons, through its spirits, through its cocktails. And he walks through San Francisco approaching 25 different recipes. So he will go into the areas where the Barbary Coast was, go through the blocks, go into the bars, have the cocktails with the people who make them, you know, historically, and keep on moving. So if you're inspired to get out and enjoy San Francisco, I would really say there's no finer book to put in your backpack on a joyful walk around the city than Drinking the Devil's Acre. It's much more than a recipe guide, much more than a cocktail book, but really an important book on San Francisco history.
Wow. I love it. So a local book, and the cocktail on the cover looks so nice. And
oh, yeah.
It's like a lemon something. So Drinking the Devil's Acre, a love letter from San Francisco and her cocktails,
mm-hmm.
Duggan MacDonald.
Yeah, so two different ways you can relieve stress. You can color, or you can have tip a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. All right, thank you for that.
Sure.
Oh, I just opened to the mojito.
Oh.
I've already made the margarita out of that book a couple mm-hmm. times. Yeah.
He's a wonderful one. He is really an expert on all these. It's a great book.
And Cheryl, what's exciting you right now in the world of books?
I really, really love this book called Sudden Death by Alvaro Enrique. And I will start right away by saying it's a very smart book. So very loosely, it is the story, remember when Spain ruled the world, so this story takes place very tightly in 1599 Spain. The premise is a tennis match between Caravaggio the artist and Quevedo the poet, and the tennis match is a duel. And by the way, the tennis balls are made by the hair of Anne Boleyn inside the balls. And this is real. One of those tennis balls is in a museum today. But very briefly, this book is ultimately about colonization and when Spain sent people out to take over Mexico and so forth. So it is politically rich. It is body and earthy. It is marvelous and brilliant. And I can't recommend it enough.
Sudden Death by Alvaro Enrique. And we are going to keep a list of all of these books and put them on the website yourcallradio.org right after the show. And if you have any recommendations you would like to add to the list, if you want to talk about what you're looking forward to reading this summer, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. All right, what else is on your list, Kevin?
Oh, wow. This one, top on my stack right now, top in the store for me these days, is Dee Watkins' book, The Cook-Up. This is a crack rock memoir. Dee Watkins is a professor in Baltimore. He grew up hard. His brother was shot and killed when he was very young, and Dee ended up inheriting his older brother's drug business. He was left a safe. It was full of hundreds of thousands of dollars, heroin, wonderful cocaine. And his buddy says, Dee just wanted to wholesale it and just get rid of it all. And his buddy says, no, I can cook this up. Let's do this. So The Cook-Up is a memoir of dealing crack cocaine in Baltimore. I'd say it's boots on the ground, but it's unlaced Air Jordans on the ground. Dee is such a wonderful writer and such a magnificent talent to survive what he did. You know, he was involved in drive-by shootings. He had actually been shot. He'd lost friends all over the place. He was facing police harassment and just the whole gamut of experience. And to come through that, not only alive, but striving, and to focus and harness his energies back into the community like he has. His first book, called The Beast Side, was released last year, a collection of essays about growing up black in Baltimore, followed with this. A book hasn't knocked my socks off this hard in a long time, so I would really encourage folks to grab up The Cook-Up by Dee Watkins.
We had Dee on when The B-Side came out months ago, and he is an amazing guy. Right now, he's teaching young kids about the power of writing and using their voice.
Yes, and that's the thing that he attributes saved him, is the joy of reading and books themselves and getting people involved in literature. He's coming back to San Francisco during the Litquick Festival in October, and I know that he's got a couple events planned. He's going to be part of the Porchlight Reading Series, which is a great storytelling series. I'm sorry, not reading series. And also the Writers at the Bar at Vesuvio Cafe. That's hosted by my wife, Alia Voltz. So those are two events coming up in October where he'll be here, and I really encourage folks to come by and say hi. He's the sweetest guy.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have him on when he's in October. And if you want to listen to that show with Dee Watkins, you can go to yourcallradio.org and just search Watkins. It's W-A-T-K-I-N-S. Thank you for that one.
No, thank him for this one.
How do memoirs like that do in bookstores?
I love them. They do very well. There's so much on the shelves. It really does take somebody to champion a book. Mm-hmm. But when a bookseller gets behind something, you really can make a difference. So this is going to be one of those books that I think is going to take somebody to put it in someone's hands. Again, once I put it in someone's hands, they'll read it, and it's going to be passed around. You know, this book is going to get talked about. So I expect good things from this.
Well, there are so many reasons to support independent bookstores, but that's one important one, to get recommendations from people who've actually read the books.
Indeed.
So it's very personal.
For sure, yeah. It definitely can wash out. And I love, just the titles on the shelves. You come into a store, and especially like Green Apple, we've got over 9,000 square feet and multiple store locations and different stories and different, you can get lost in there. And so it's really important for us that, our staff is so, we just love what we do and read so well. And to have that ability to share it with our customers, it's what we do best. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheryl, what's another one of your favorites?
Well, that was such a perfect segue to Dodgers that I have to bring this up next. This is a book by Bill Beverly, and it came out in April this year. The premise of the book is there's four young African-American boys in South Central Los Angeles in a very, very tiny community who are absolutely experts at what they do. And they are street smart, and they are guards for a drug lord or kingpin, whereby they have watch lookouts and they can tell when anything changes on the street and make sure that the cops can't get there. Well, something happens, and the boss of these four boys puts them in a car and tells them they have to drive across country to Wisconsin to perform a hit. for somebody who was going to be a witness against the boss. What's interesting here is that these four boys, who range in age from about 13 to 18, have never been out of their neighborhood. They have never seen America. They have to be low-key. They're told they can't wear anything that indicates they might be thugs. They have never seen the middle of the country. They don't know. They're completely fish out of water, which is fascinating in itself. The crux of this book is that all four of them have to come to terms with what is it they're going to do with the rest of their lives. And they really do, their choices really do range from, they are so skilled as thugs, do they continue and be bosses themselves, or do they leave the life? And it is brilliant. So it's kind of maybe a little bit of the fiction version of the Watkins book. Very, very smart, very well done, riveting.
And that's Dodgers by Bill Beverly. All right. Thank you for that. We've got a number of emails and phone calls. Let's go to phone calls first. Let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry. I have three books that I've just enjoyed reading. Well, one of them I can't say I enjoyed, but I recommend it. And you know it. It's Dark Money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly not enjoyable, but it's important.
Well, and so, Judy, just quickly, so we have a story behind Dark Money by The New Yorker's Jane Mayer, and she was on a couple of months ago, and I noticed that she wasn't getting any television interviews at all. I mean, at a time when some people are talking about money in politics.
Yes.
Hardly any interviews on television.
Surprise.
And you can find that interview with Jane Mayer. We rebroadcast it yesterday, but you can find it at yourcallradio.org. Thank you, Judy. What else do you have to recommend?
Classics are classics for a reason. I just reread Tess of the D'Urbervilles, which I read in ninth grade, and that was like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And this book is so rich. You can study it on so many levels. Thomas Hardy was a proto-feminist. It's a really important book for feminism, I think, because he actually acknowledged that women have sexual feelings, and we're allowed to, even though she got totally punished for it. and she was such a good person who got just crushed down by the system that she was in for no reason. It was just beautiful. And then also his descriptions of the countryside and his preservation of the folk ways, you know, the ways of farming and the ways of, the festivals and stuff. It was just, and the language. I just can't go into it enough. And if you want to read something modern, I would recommend the Frank Bascom books by Richard Ford, is it?
Yes, Richard Ford.
Yes, they're just very witty and, contemporary and insightful.
I loved them.
Yeah. Okay, that's about it.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, Judy. Let's go next to Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Okay. I just finished reading Robert Harris's newest book on ancient Rome called Dictator. And it's part of I don't know if it's a trilogy or actually he wrote four books on ancient Rome, but I think there's one that's a trilogy. And this one is almost all about Cicero. And I've read a lot of Robert Harris. I really, really like him. And this is really, really an interesting book. But you have to be really interested in ancient Rome, which I am. But it's very well done, and you get a great picture of Cicero. His other book that was a couple years old, which is excellent, on the Dreyfus case, is called An Officer and a Spy. And then the third book I wanted to recommend is the newest book by Jacqueline Winspear, who I have read all of her books, and this is, of course, another Macy Dobbs book, and it's called Journey to Munich. And, I couldn't put it down. I read this way, way late into the evening. It's one of her absolutely best Macy Dobbs books.
You may enjoy, speaking of ancient Rome, a book that's been extremely popular at Green Apple is SPQR by Mary Beard. We can't keep that on the shelves, and that's a nonfiction look at ancient Rome.
Yes.
You're doing well with that at Copperfield,
Absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. Yeah. Plus, I wanted to mention that Jackie Winspear is a local. She's she's a Marin County resident, and she's just an incredible writer, but it's especially fun to recommend somebody who is from our region.
And another shout out for SPQR by Mary Beard. Stephen writes in, it's a very readable review of almost 1,000 years of Roman history, during which one cannot help but be amazed by the parallels with current events, income inequality, political corruption, military misadventure, constitutional debates, demagogues winning elections. Rome has done it all before. And a big shout out to Green Apple.
Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Nancy.
Absolutely.
Today on Your Call, we are talking about books. We'd love to hear from you. What are you reading? And now that summer is just a couple weeks away, what are you looking forward to reading? We will also talk about this weekend's Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley. Saturday and Sunday, 2 days of authors, films, special events. Find information at bayareabookfest.org. You can join us at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. All right, let's go to your next book, Kevin.
Sure. Well, we're just speaking of local talent, and here's a book that is very San Francisco. This is a novel called I Hate the Internet by Jarrett Kobeck. This is actually published by a publishing house, small publisher called We Heard You Like Books. How about that? It's a useful novel against men, money, and the filth of Instagram. This is wonderful. This is a staff favorite by everyone at the bookstore who's read it, and I think that's numbering about 5 people now so far, but there's a waiting list around the store, so as soon as I get back to the store, this is going to have to go to someone else. It follows two young writers, a woman who writes graphic novels, a friend of hers who's a science fiction author, through the San Francisco years of gentrification. So the first, you know, the first bubble to now. And it's so engaging. It's fiction, but these characters weave through the real world. The characters in the book, Kevin Killian, who's a local poet, a friend of mine, Paul at City Lights, are actual characters in the book. So you're weaving fictitious people through a totally true landscape, and Jarrett takes everything out of the internet. He basically breaks it down that we're all slaves, you know, modern slaves to the free economy. All we're doing is making money on clicks for, you know, Facebook, for Instagram, whatever. A funny little thing, you can put, I hate you, Facebook, and you'll get 1,000 shares, and everybody will share this, and you're going viral with your message that I hate you, Facebook. Well, Facebook is fine, you know, because the more shares you get, the more advertisements get seen, the more money they make. Go ahead, say you hate us all you want. We're making all the money from you. So it's a little bit, in a nutshell, of that, how to still maintain your artistic integrity in the face of the internet. Mm. And it is, I think, hits the nail on the head in modern San Francisco better than any book I've read.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very timely.
Very timely. I hate the internet. Jarrett Kobeck.
Jarrett, how do you spell the last name?
It's K-O-B-E-K.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cheryl, what's next on your list?
Well, you know, I'm going to switch gears here. I'm going to mention Tuesday Nights in 1980 by Molly Prentice. This book was published in February. And the conceit of this book, which is that the major events that happened in the entire year in 1980 start on a Tuesday night. Now, having said that, in the beginning, we are in Argentina during the Dirty Wars. Quickly, one character leaves because he's a painter and comes into New York. And so it's in the artistic world in New York. One thing similar to what Kevin just said is that there are real people in here worked through the story. There's Keith Haring, there's Basquiat, and so forth. This was a very exciting time in New York in the art world. So there's the painter, the Argentinian. There is a young man who becomes a critic who has synesthesia in such a way that when he sees incredible art, he sees auras of color around people. And then there's a young girl who comes from the middle of the country who is also herself trying to strike out and make a life for herself in New York. The way this book comes together with the various political aspects of being in the art world in New York in the 1980s, as well as the what's going on around the world, as well as the young people trying to strike out on their own. It's really an incredibly well-written, brilliant, wonderful read. And this is a debut novel. It's astonishing how good this is. She just came right out of the gate with massive talent, Molly Prentice.
All right. Well, congratulations to Molly Prentice, because it's hard to get published as a brand new novelist. All right. Thank you for that one. We've got a number of other recommendations from listeners. Actually, a colleague at Green Apple just tweeted us, "Everyone should be talking about Home Going by Ya Gayatsi. It's a stunning debut novel of Ghana, family, and beauty."
Excellent.
Have you read that one?
I have not, no.
I can talk about it.
Okay.
First off, she lives in Oakland, even though she did start out. She's Ghanaian, and her last name is pronounced Jessie, even though it's spelled, I think, G-Y-A-S-I. A-S-I. Yeah. I've met her. She's fabulous. This is a novel that I'm not sure. Is it? It might be just out. It's not. I'm not sure the pub date, but very soon. Mm-hmm. And it covers 300 years of both African-African and African-American history. So there are two sisters who do not know each other, stepsisters, in Ghana 300 years ago, one of whom is married to a white man, a trader, the other of whom is captured as a slave. And what this book does is follow their descendants for 300 years. It's fascinating. It is a story the life of people from Africa and what sorts of impacts and things have happened to them. And they go through every kind of permutation you can imagine, from wealth to poverty to cruelty to one thing and another. And it's really an incredible tour de force. Mm. So this is a debut book as well, and it's really astonishing what she's done. Mm.
I actually saw a blurb about this book. Can you both talk about why some books take off and some books don't? I mean, we're talking about books that you both like.
Oh, gosh, you know, that what you make me think of when you ask that is how much heartbreak I feel when a book doesn't take off. That's really good. Yeah. They're like my children. When I think something's really good, I think the whole world needs to know it and needs to read it. And there are books that don't do well. So there's a certain capriciousness to that.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, as Kevin's mentioned earlier, we hand sell like mad to try and get people to read what we think is good. Mm-hmm. And what customers will tell us they think is good. So word of mouth and just excitement means a lot. And yet still things fall through the cracks.
Indeed. And I can read books. And I read a book and I know that I love this book and it's such a good book, whatever it is. And I just can feel that I'm not going to be able to sell this. This book is not going to work. You know, and that happens. I know that as good as it is, I know this is one that's just going to slip by the cracks. And conversely, you can feel the media machine getting behind certain books that, you know, maybe is not necessarily worthy, but that they want it to be popular and therefore it will break out. And how many times I'm right on both accounts. You know, I can hand sell the heck out of a book, but it never lives beyond my bookstore. And then the book that doesn't really necessarily deserve it sometimes is the huge national bestseller, wins all the, you know, accolades. So you really never know. It does come down to you can only do what you can do. Have a wonderful staff. Like I have a Green Apple that are voracious readers and that love to share what they've read. We hand sell, like Cheryl was saying, like crazy. the book that springs to mind as a very successful look at this, there's a book called You Can't Win by Jack Black. It was originally published in the 20s. He was a turn-of-the-century cat burglar, a safecracker. He would use the hobo jungles and the railroads as his means of escape. When he would get away from the police, you know, he'd get out of town, he'd actually get away. It was at that kind of a time. this memoir was written in the 20s, published in the 20s, and it was a bestseller at the time, but then languished in obscurity. You know, after a few, you know, very successful years, went out of print. The book came back in a small press, University Press, and then a smaller press, AK Press. When it did get reissued, because it's a book that's such a favorite of mine, I had a waiting list of customers to read this book because it was only available in a very rare edition. So when this book did come back, it had initially a 2,000 copy first printing, which is a small press, a legitimate small press first printing. Green Apple sold within a few years over 3,500 copies of that book. And it's still front and center on our staff favorites section. And it's probably gone over 4,000 copies by this point. I've honestly lost track, but it's still selling because Green Apple still sells it, you know, and it's there and we're selling it. And that's one that you really do make a difference with, you know, independent booksellers and book lovers by just being able to put those books in people's hands. Sometimes that really does work.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll talk more after the break about the importance of independent bookstores. We will also talk about the Bay Area Book Festival, which kicks off this weekend in Berkeley. Today, we're joined by Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple Books, and Cheryl Kotler is a book buyer at Copperfields Books. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling us at 866-798-TALK. That's toll-free, 800-798-8255. Or you can post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org, where you'll also find links related to today's show. Coming up in a half an hour, it's World Have Your Say from the BBC, the story of the Indian comedian who made a satirical video lampooning a great athlete and even greater singer, and a lot of people are not happy about it. The fallout from that, World Have Your Say from the BBC, coming up in a half an hour at 11 o'clock, here on 91.7 KLW San Francisco.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about the global water crisis. Classified U.S. wire cables reviewed by the Center for Investigative Reporting reveal a mounting concern by global political and business leaders that water shortages could spark unrest across the world with dire consequences. We're already seeing it happen in Yemen and Syria. That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about books. We'd love to hear from you. What are you reading? What are you looking forward to now that summer is right around the corner? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you can tweet your favorite book at Your Call Radio. We're joined today by Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple Books on Clement Street in San Francisco, which has been in business since 1967. Green Apple also has a store in the Inner Sunset. Cheryl Kotler is a book buyer at Copperfields Books. And I got the number of stores wrong earlier. They actually have 4 stores in Sonoma, 2 in Marin, and 2 in Napa. And Cheryl, I just learned that you opened a brand new store in Novato in April.
Yes, the store's opening day was, I believe, April 14th. And we had done a social media campaign, and we had worked with our marketing people, had worked with the local community around what do you want to see in your local bookstore. And the mayor and the city council also did their campaign. So that led to that opening night at 5:30. We had over 600 people show up. Wow. We couldn't actually fit them all in. They were double and triple across and around the block.
Wow.
We have all kinds of photos of this on our website, copperfieldsbooks.com, or copperfieldbook.com. And It was amazing. We were sardines in a can and had a fabulous time. So that community was so ready and eager and hungry for an independent bookstore. And it's been continuing to do very, very well.
It sounds to me like they're hungry for an independent bookstore and community.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
key.
Yes.
Because can you talk about that? I mean, independent bookstores do create community. Even if you're
indeed.
In there just browsing by yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to kind of look at what other people are doing. And you've
sure.
sort of feel like you're joining people. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
There are fewer and fewer places that we can go to these days where you can meet people and talk with people.
Right.
Used to be bars, coffee shops. Well, the coffee shops now, they're just turning into workspaces. You know, they might as well put up cubicles between everybody. Everybody's just on their laptop. And I noticed in a coffee shop in my neighborhood, put a sign up in the window that says, during Saturday and Sunday brunches from 8 to noon, we are turning off our Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I really encourage other businesses to do a little bit more of that because we do need community in our communities. And bookstores are an incredible place for community. It's one of my favorite aspects of when I'm on the floor talking with a customer and selling a book. I'll be talking about a particular book, and then I can just kind of feel the people around and it's getting closer and closer and listening. And as soon as they walk away with that book, I see two other people will grab the same book off the shelf. You know, it's really fun, but people really are open and want to be a part of something. And independent bookstores are a great place to find that.
How are independent bookstores doing these days? I mean, we're so lucky in the Bay Area to have so many.
Mm-hmm.
Our stores are doing the best. We've been in business 35 years. This is our 35th, this summer, our 35th birthday. We've been celebrating all summer long. And the last 3 years have been the best 3 years of all of the 35. We have been each year slightly better than the year before. You know, we've had to do efficiencies and various kinds of business decisions to tighten things up, but we feel really good about the independent bookstore community. And both Kevin and I are connected to bookstores, both as friends as well as colleagues and associates, bookstores around the country. And in general, the independent bookstore world is really pretty healthy. I think it's a real response to the internet and all the lack of social connection that we have kind of come back in a way mm-hmm. that is amazing and wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think explains the success of the last 3 years?
Well, we
started there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Kevin, I've been with Copperfields for a little over 3 years, so we like to joke about that. But really, my Cinderella wand only works so much. I think that we have been working very hard to reconnect. I don't want to say reconnect, to strengthen our connection with each of our local communities.
Yes.
As you said, Rose, we have 8 stores, but we have managers and teams inside each store that really, really connects with the store in Calistoga, mm-hmm. the store in Petaluma, the store in Sebastopol, the store in Santa Rosa. We make an effort to make that community mm-hmm. feel that that store is their store. And it's working. And we're all a team. I'm the buyer of the books. The staff is the booksellers. I talk to the booksellers. And you were talking about at Christmas Eve, I was working in our San Rafael store because I live in Marin. And I was shelving on the paperback table.
Yes.
And people were wandering by and they'd say, well, what's good? Because they could see I worked there. I had a tag on. And I'd say, oh, this is a great book, you know. And before long, I had a crowd around me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little Pied Piper thing. And
so fun.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody said, go listen to her. She's telling you what to read, you know. And it was, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's that kind of synergy.
And you know what I love about independent bookselling and booksellers is there's no competition between us.
No.
You know, if I don't have a book, I'll call Books Incorporated right around the corner from the store and hopefully they'll have one for our customer.
Yes.
We're all in this together. And that's so unique. I can't really think of another industry where we'll fall over backwards to help each other out. If
right.
we have an author event and for some reason some of the books fall through the cracks and we're not able to get enough, we'll call another store. Oh, we've got an author coming. Can I get all of your copies of this book for my author? And we'll do that for each other.
Yes.
There is a community there, and we're all in this together. And and that, I think, the customers understand that, and they know that.
And that's refreshing.
Oh,
yes. It is.
Well, if you'd like to call in to talk about one of your favorite local independent bookstores, we'd love to hear from you. Also, if you have a book to recommend or if you want a recommendation, I'd love to know, we'll talk about this later, but how often do you both read? Because for Pledge, we have so many books. Mm-hmm. We've got usually an author every couple of weeks, so we're often reading books for your call and just to see your list and you know all these books. I just would love to talk about that later.
Sure.
You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Shiva in Burlingame. Hi, Shiva. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much, Rose. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I'm calling about a bookstore in Lafayette that closed a year ago only because the owner retired. I think many people would have been willing to buy it, but I think she just wanted to be done and move on. But one of the programs that I like the most there that I think would help create a generation of future physical book buyers is they had a summer reading program that didn't really involve the parents very much. The child would meet with the independent, with the bookseller, and establish a relationship with that person. The bookseller would ask what type of books they like to read, and then at the end they would commit to a certain number of pages and different types of books, and they would sign a contract that the bookseller signed and the kids signed. And then throughout the summer they'd check in, get their different books checked off, and at the end there was always a party and a reward in the form of, you know, a discount on your next book. It was a really beautiful program, and some families did it for generations. So, of course, I'm very sad to see it go, and I'm wondering if the bookstores that we're talking to today have anything like that.
All right, so Shiva's in Burlingame. Do you know any bookstores there that might have something like that?
No, I don't.
I don't know any bookstores in Burlingame.
There was Burlingame Book Browse that I used to go to all the time, but I think that's closed.
So it'd probably have to be on the peninsula.
Yeah.
Cody's is on the peninsula, right?
Kepler's.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's a wonderful idea, and that's something that we're always trying to find creative ways of getting the kids involved. Many years ago, Green Apple gave a $10 gift certificate to every student, every public student in the fourth grade in San Francisco, and that was a wonderful program. I would love to do something more with that summer reading program. I jotted it down on my notes. That sounds like a wonderful approach and something that we could really do well with at the store. I like to see things like that, and I think that we should challenge ourselves to find creative ways of getting the kids more involved.
Yeah.
Because it's a great growth area, the young adult area, and especially at Green Apple, our kids buyer, Ashley, is so phenomenal. He chaired the Northern California Bookseller Awards recently for the kids' books, the picture books, and you have a talent like that in the store, it's really important that it gets utilized in the best way possible. So we're trying to find creative ways for kids, and that's a good one.
Well, first I want to give a shout out to our friends Books Inc., who has a store in Mountain View, I believe, and is opening a store in Santa Clara, I think, in the next 2 weeks. So they actually have a presence on the peninsula. Mm-hmm. I might even be missing a third location. Then I want to say that Copperfields has an incredible kids program. And when we were at BEA, Patty Norman, who is the person in our company who sets up the kids events for all of our stores, brought with her an actual hardcover picture book that she had made that had all these amazing collage photos of the various kids events she does. And she does do the reading program like your reader mentioned, and she takes what she'll do is get an author, and then she will set up four or five different schools that she takes the authors to. She also does dinners with, she'll select maybe 12 people, young kids who are 10 or 11 years old, and she did one where they went with an author who was an illustrator, and the table was covered in white paper, and all of them were illustrating stories while they were having a meal together.
How
so
fun.
She does amazing, amazing things.
Where can people get information about this?
It our website, fantastic. Copperfields.
And where is that located?
The
internet.
Well, the other thing is you can call our you call our Petaluma store and ask for Patty Norman. That's the store she's based out of, the Copperfields in Petaluma. The programs that she does are astonishing. And she's a one-woman band. I mean, she's just knocking herself out of the park. I mean, we have a whole nother person, Susan Ryan, who is our book fair person. And she's got a full-time job just doing our school book fairs. And last but not least is Michelle Bella, the kids buyer, who I work very closely with, who does an amazing job reading kids books, recommending kids books. And she's a member of the NCIBA. There's an offshoot of the kids wing of the NCIBA. Mm-hmm. And Bella just had a meeting with all the kids buyers in the Bay Area recently about all of the programs that they're doing. So that's a whole world.
Wow. It sure is.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Yeah. Well, Shiva, thank you for calling. If you have any other recommendations for her, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd also like to talk about your favorite independent bookstore or what you're reading right now, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Cheryl Kotler is a book buyer with Copperfields Books. They have 4 stores in Sonoma, 2 in Marin, and 2 in Napa. We're also joined by Kevin Hunsinger, co-owner of Green Apple Books on Clement Street in San Francisco. They've been in business since 1967. Green Apple also has a beautiful bookstore in the Inner Sunset. And let's go next to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
Hi again. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I work at the library, and so I just wanted to tell you about our summer reading program. It's called Summer Stride, and this year we're doing something very interesting. We're doing it in connection with the Park Service, so kids can get a ranger badge at the end of their reading, and you know they get little incentives to read. They get a little card to track their reading, and then they get stickers every hour and everything that they read. But also there are some events in connection with the Park Service, so. That's a fun way to integrate two wonderful institutions of America. And I hope you go to your San Francisco Public Library and sign your kids up.
Great.
And an adult can sign up, too.
And is it any library?
Yeah, you can go to any library, of course, in San Francisco and sign up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Judy.
Okay.
Well, I want to read a few emails because we've got a ton of emails from listeners. So let's see here. Okay. Kate writes in, I have a few recommendations. The Gods of Tango by Carolina de Robertis is an absolutely stunning history of tango and a wonderful story of migration and gender bending in Argentina. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sure does.
And for mystery lovers, Jacqueline Winspear's Maisie Dobbs series and Julia Dahl's 2 books, Invisible City and Run You Down, both about Hasidism.
I can't see it.
Hasidim?
Hasidic? The Jewish...
H-A-S-I-D-I-M.
Hasidim. That's
Hasidim in New York.
Ultra-conservative,
yes.
Ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. Yeah.
I always see Hasidics.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Mm. Thank you for that. Oh, and then another book about social movements, Layla by Celine Keating. Thank you for that, Kate. And Andy writes in, first a plug for the Green Arcade on Market Street, a great small bookstore where I am delighted to be employed. Right now I'm reading The Scarlet Sisters, which reads like a potboiler, but is actually all true and very timely as we endure the current presidential campaign. And then other recommendations, every person in the United States should read A People's History of the United States, which is incredibly sad but inspiring, by Howard Zinn. Also, David Talbot's Season of the Witch looks at how San Francisco became the progressive, quirky city that it is. And Tony Robel's great book of poetry, Cool Don't Live Here No More, about the gentrification and displacement taking place in San Francisco right now. Thank you. Those are great recommendations. Trish says, Books, Inc. has a store in Burlingame.
Hey.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
I knew it.
Ding,
I knew if I asked, somebody would call in. I love our listeners.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Trish.
I'm sorry, Books, Inc. Yeah. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, so I hope you're still listening, Shiva. Books, Inc. is in Burlingame, right on the avenue, and Trish says it is fabulous. And Robert writes in, the next book up in my reading list is 0K by Don DeLillo. Have either of you read that one?
I haven't yet, yeah.
And he says, I love the City Arts and Lectures discussion between him and Rachel Kushner last month. Kushner wrote one of my favorites from last year, The Flamethrowers. Thank you for that. Larry, oh my God, one of my all-time favorite books. OMG, exclamation point?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Oh, you can't. Maybe it's You Can't Win.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, it's one of my favorite books.
All right. The subject line was above that. Okay. I'm glad I saw that.
So he might be one of the 3,500 that got a copy through Green Apple.
Apparently he loved it because it's OMG.
It's spectacular.
You Can't Win. All right. Thank you. And Lydia writes, I would love to recommend the summer book by Tove Jansson, best known as the creator of the Moomin series for children. Miss Jansson has created an unforgettable story of a young girl's summer with her grandmother on an island. The little girl has lost her mother, but the focus of the story is life and freedom. It's adorable with lovely ink drawings by the author. Still in print, it can be found in libraries and bookstores. All right. Thank you for that one. And one more from Mauricio. He wants to recommend Vendela Vida's hilarious The Diver's Clothes Lie Empty. Initially, I thought it wouldn't be interesting given the topics of the sense of dislocation one feels while traveling and identity theft. Mm-hmm. But what happens is a roller coaster ride of coincidences, situations, and outlandish adventure set in Morocco. This is a real page turner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
All right. Great recommendations. Thank you for that one. And let's go back to calls. Let's hear from Cyrus in Kentfield. Or Cyrus in Kentfield. Sorry. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Don't worry. I'm a student at NYU, and I noticed in New York you have a lot more independent booksellers that are closing due to the high rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just calling to ask what the bookseller's thoughts were on that.
That it's very true.
Yeah,
like the impact it would have on the community.
Absolutely. You know, we have good friends in New York. I go to New York a couple times a year, actually, just to visit editors and go to the local bookstores that are there. New York's, in particular, Manhattan, has had a very difficult time keeping independent bookstores. I hope it may come as a surprise to some of you, but the margins in books are very, very small. That means the profit.
Mm-hmm.
And when your overhead with your wages and your rents are skyrocketing, and the profit that you make on what you actually sell, which, by the way, is a fixed price,
that's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. We do not get to change the price. We don't get to raise a price on a book. It's set mm-hmm. by the publishing industry. So when the profit you can make on what you're actually selling is so minimal and your overhead is so high, Manhattan has especially been hard hit.
Yes.
There are amazing bookstores opening in the boroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been resurgence there, but I just really feel badly.
I think rent is the single greatest obstacle facing independent businesses these days. And I'm really happy that San Francisco is making strides to help with this with their legacy business program. Businesses that have existed for more than 30 years and have ties to the community, San Francisco will work towards offsetting rent increases, working with both the landlords and the businesses themselves on a per employee basis as well. So they are taking strides, and I hope that it does have an impact, because when we lose these neighborhood businesses of any stripe, you're really losing your neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that important question. We just got a tweet from Great Good Place, an independent bookstore in the Oakland Hills,
mm-hmm.
yes.
and they wanted to recommend Kitchens of the Great Midwest by J. Ryan Streddle, and it comes out on June 7th.
Yes, it's coming out in paperback. It was published a year ago in hardcover. It's really a sweet and charming and wonderful, rich story that's both relational as well as about food.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's really great.
All right. Well, thank you for that tweet. And let's talk, we have just a couple minutes left, but let's talk about the Bay Area Book Festival that's coming up this weekend in Berkeley. 300 local, national, international authors. There will be films, special events, and author interviews. And if you're free on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning and you want to learn more about what's happening in Central and South America, I'll be interviewing Oscar Martinez about his book, A History of Violence, Living and Dying in Central America. I just started it over the weekend. It's pretty brutal, but really important to get these stories out mm-hmm. at a time when the immigration debate really doesn't give many details
right.
about what's actually happening
right.
in Central and South America. And these incredibly brave journalists are trying to get these stories out. So I hope you can check that out. Again, it's Sunday at 10 in Berkeley. You can find information at BayAreaBookFest.org. And Kevin, you're excited about this festival.
Very much so. Green Apple is a strong participant in this. And, you know, some of the events that we're booksellers for are the, William Finnegan, who's got the Pulitzer Prize winning the surf memoir.
Barbarian Days.
Yes, yeah, it's a spectacular book. A lot of favorites at the Green Apple staff with that. We're actually, we're selling books for A Conversation Between Sherman Alexie and Daniel Handler. That's an A-list event. I'm sure there's going to be a lines around the block for that.
Yeah, and that's a picture book, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's really neat.
You know, we're next to a high school here at
mm-hmm.
KLW,
mm-hmm.
and before we did this move, we had access to one of their bookshelves of picture books.
Mm-hmm.
I was floored by
yeah.
how many amazing picture books are out there that did not exist when I was in middle school.
Oh,
yes,
no, it's
yes,
great.
Yes.
It's pretty exciting
really
time.
It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
sure, yes. The level of sophistication and all those things for the kids, you know,
graphic novels, really.
The graphic novels, sure,
right.
Sure, yeah. Yes. No, they really
there's,
do have really the,
there's even books now for children addressing gender identity decisions and really interesting subjects that are
By Curious
things.
George,
yes.
That's a good one.
Oh, really?
there is one,
really?
Yeah, By Curious George, yeah. Et cetera.
No, there's some wonderful things happening in all the levels of books that are, because, you know, books reflect the culture, and culture then reflects back what it is we're thinking, worrying about, curious about, wanting to know about. And that's fiction, nonfiction, children, adults, mysteries, you know, every genre. It's fabulous and interesting. There's something for everybody.
And that's what's great about the Bay Area Book Festival, I think they're so successful with, is it's, you know, you take BART, downtown Berkeley, and then it's just nestled in within, you know, a few block radius, and it's part of that community. You walk around the downtown area from event to event, and there are little strips of booths, like, you know, KAW is there.
Right.
Green Apple Books has a booth there. I know you're going to have air staff on the booths during the course of it, so it'd be a neat opportunity for folks to come and put a face to the, you know, to the voice. It's a great thing that, yeah, as part of that community, you know, so all aspects of the books and in the neighborhoods. I think it's really neat, a good marriage.
Yes, and so that's this weekend in Berkeley. Find more information, BayAreaBookFest.org. And we've got about a minute left. How often do you both read?
Every day. That's all I do at work. I just sit up in my office and I read for 40 hours a week. And I
No, never.
I have never read a book at work. But as soon as I get home, I definitely throw on a jazz LP and kick my heels for the next couple of hours.
And you know, and actual books, right? You don't read Kindles?
It depends. I do have an e-reader. It's very easy for publishers to disseminate galleys. Mm-hmm. Most of what Cheryl and I read, it's very curious. Spots like this are kind of difficult because we each read about 9 months in advance of publication.
Yes.
So the books that are published now, I've read maybe close to a year ago, so I might not even remember something I've read by the time it comes out, especially my memory. So the e-readers are a good thing that we can actually just log into a database and download these advanced copies. So I've gotten around to learning how to use an e-reader a little bit more. I still don't prefer it. I do like books, but the option's there.
I love books. What about you, Cheryl? How often do you read?
I read every day. I read at the oddest times. I always have a book with me no matter what, in case I get to a restaurant sooner than somebody I'm meeting, and I sit there and read. Also, I do not read in an e-reader, but my eyesight just doesn't like it. Having said that, I do read a couple of books a week on average.
A week?
I do.
You just make the time for it. You're not going online and using social media. You're making the time to read.
You see, I don't do social media, and I never really was much of a television watcher, except for sports.
Yeah, the TV has to go. If you're going to read, the TV has to go.
But thankfully, it doesn't grab me.
Yes.
Cheryl Kotler is a book buyer at Copperfields, and Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple. And you can find more information about the books that we talked about today and the Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley this weekend at yourcallradio.org. Cheryl and Kevin, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy reading, all.
Yes, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for all of your great recommendations. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, we'll discuss the global water crisis. Classified U.S. wire cables reviewed by the Center for Investigative Reporting reveal a mounting concern by global political and business leaders that water shortages could spark unrest across the world with dire consequences. Cables also reveal that water shortages have helped push Yemen and Syria into civil war. So what do you want to know about global water shortages, and how should this be dealt with? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you.